Welcome. Welcome to you all, wherever you are, to this Sunday worship from the Scottish West Highlands, here on the peninsula's last Tuesday in the far west at Kilhohan. The turf was cut as work begins on the new church centre. An exciting good news story in the midst of all the change and transformation around the presbytery mission plan. We pray for the congregation and parish of Ardnamurchan at this exciting time as we continue to pray and remember all the congregations of Lough Aber Presbytery. Thank you for sharing in this online opportunity. May it be a blessing to you. We sing the hymn, The Old Rugged Cross.
Let us pray. We bow before the Father who made us. We bow before the Son who saved us. We bow before the Spirit who guides us in love and adoration. We bow and adore Thee, Sacred Three, the Ever One, the Trinity. Lord, we come to you in gratitude, for you, God Almighty, Creator of all, you, Lord, have time to bother with us. You have time to listen. You have time to answer. You have time to love. For you will to give everything for us and to us. And yet our response is often at best so feeble. We so easily forget you and all that you have done for us. Lord, have mercy. We sing about being true to the cross and gladly bearing reproach and shame. But in reality, we so easily turn our backs and run when we are asked to pick up even a light cross. Lord, have mercy. So often, our own thoughts and wishes blot out the needs of others. Lord, have mercy. Help us to have time for you, for our fellow men, and for our planet. Time to listen, time to love, time to act. Amen.
Normally, our readings would encourage us to go forward in faith. Trust in God, pray to God, and he will lead you forward. However, today's readings also bring a touch of realism and practicality, which are as relevant today as they would have been 2,000 years ago. The theme of our readings today brings us the message that God knows us better than we know ourselves, and that when we are contemplating any projects or changes in our lives, we should find out as much as we possibly can about the resources around us before taking that next step forward. We have our own strengths and the help and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but we must also look around us to see what other resources we have to hand. Our first reading from Psalm 139 tells us how God knows us. He is in front of us. He is behind us, in our future and in our past. The reading from Luke talks about the preparation needed to meet a specific task and whether we'll manage it or not. And it brought to mind a quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson, who lived in the 1800s. He was a philosopher, poet, and essayist. And he said, "The task ahead of us is never greater than the force behind us." And that sentiment seemed to fit with the teaching in this psalm. God knows us and what we are capable of, even more than we think we know ourselves. And this is backed up by the practical advice we receive in Luke. Look at the task and decide whether it is achievable.
Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6, and then verses 13 through 18. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Luke chapter 14, verses 25 to 33. One day when large groups of people were walking along with him, Jesus turned to them and told them, "Anyone who comes to me but refuses to let go of father, mother, spouse, children, brothers, sisters, yes, even one's own self, can't be my disciple. Anyone who won't shoulder his own cross and follow behind me can't be my disciple." Is there anyone here who, planning to build a new house, doesn't first sit down and figure the cost so you'll know if you can complete it? If you only get the foundation laid and then run out of money, you're going to look pretty foolish. Everyone passing by will poke fun at you. He started something he couldn't finish. Or can you imagine a king going into battle against another king without first deciding whether it is possible with his 10,000 troops to face the 20,000 troops of the other? And if he decides he can't, won't he send an emissary and work out a truce? Simply put, if you're not willing to take what is dearest to you, whether plans or people, and kiss it goodbye, you can't be my disciple.
In the account from Luke, we are seeing Jesus as he is spelling out to his disciples what will be demanded from them if they say that they will follow his teachings. Jesus knows he is heading towards Jerusalem and all that awaits him there. He has precious little time to make sure they know, as far as possible, what they will have to commit to. Of course, only Jesus knows that his time is limited. The disciples don't take this on board. They have no idea how pressing it is for them to listen and to learn while they can. They have no idea what lies ahead of them, whereas Jesus knows exactly what lies ahead of him. His language and his analogies get harsher but clearer as Jesus sees time disappearing. In our reading today, we are told that large crowds were gathering and following Jesus. No doubt some caught up in his teaching and the sort of life Jesus was describing, but others would be there just out of curiosity, and there would be others who simply saw a crowd and wondered what it was all about. But this is not a show. It's not a joyride. Jesus' teaching is not to entertain the masses, and he has to make that clear. "It's no good unless you fully commit," he says. But the problem is that they won't know what they're committing to. Did we know what we were committing to when we decided to follow our faith? So Jesus is saying, stop and think about it. Think before you commit, before you promise. Otherwise, you may come a cropper. And he relates the decision making to a couple of different scenarios which they would probably be familiar with. One is the building of a tower, and he says you wouldn't build a tower unless you knew you had all the materials and enough money and resources to do that. And the other is going into battle, and he says you wouldn't go into battle unless you knew that you had a fighting chance of winning. Making sensible, realistic, practical decisions. And even after considering everything you can think of, sometimes the outcome is not necessarily the one you thought it would be. And we can apply those principles, those same principles, in both our private life and in our church lives. Over the last few years, there has been the need for a great deal of change within the Christian church in the United Kingdom, in all denominations, and decisions have been necessary. And all the decision-making processes have been conducted in the same way, beginning with prayer, seeking guidance, asking God, what are we trying to do? What is it you want us to do? Which direction should we go in? Well, the major resource we have, and the most important one, is the Holy Spirit acting through our people? What can we expect of them? What are they willing to give of themselves? And our reading from the psalm told us that God knows us all, and so God knows the resources we have in our people. Another resource is, of course, is money. Money for employing people, money for training, equipment, and for buildings and their maintenance. Money for mission. Over the last few years, and especially in this last year, there have been some major shifts in the way the churches are looking at using their resources. The whole raison d'etre of the church has been reaffirmed as being missional. And so from the starting point, the available resources have been considered and deployed. We are now hopefully thinking wider than our own parishes, wider than our own denominations, wider than our own buildings. Our resources, our buildings and our money are being shared as they have not been for many, many years. But still more work needs to be done on this. In the past, mission and ministry were seen principally as the province of those who were ordained in ministry, but now more lay people are stepping forward to train and to help, confident that they will be made welcome. But we need to have the confidence to step forward or respond when invited to step forward. We need more to do that. The building of the new church in Cajon will incorporate all these principles, and we have the good fortune to be able to begin afresh. A new building, a new ministry, a new challenge to get everything to mesh together. I began the introduction with a quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson. The task ahead of us is never greater than the power behind us. The task we had was overwhelming us. Our resources were not sufficient. And so we're trying to put the balance of power right so we are not overwhelmed. We are bolstering the power behind us by encouraging Christians to join together in a spirit of cooperation. And as long as the core message is based on the teachings of Jesus, how can we go wrong? I leave you with the thought of a children's story, The Little Engine Who Thought He Could. Some of you will be familiar with this. An engine was laden with toys for the children who lived on the other side of a very steep hill. The little engine got to the bottom of the steep hill, knowing that he was being expected on the other side of the hill, and he knew he couldn't manage it on his own. Different engines came past, and he asked for help, but each one had a reason for not helping. And finally, an engine came along and said yes, they would help. So it got ahead of him on the track, and it towed him up the hill. They tied together, towed him up the hill. And as it was going up the hill, it was still a massive task. They were going up the hill. The little engine was heard to say, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. He got to the crest of the hill, and he knew that it was all downwards towards the children. He could see them waiting at the station. And he said, I knew I could, I knew I could, I knew I could. If we look at our task in front of us, if we look at the task of building the new church in Cajon, if we look at the task of providing services of worship throughout our parishes with fewer ministers, we might think we can't succeed, we can't do that. Many will turn away when we ask for help, will not be persuaded to contribute. But it just takes a few determined folk to offer help, and our cry might change from I can't do that, to I think I can, I think I can, I think we can. And when we get to the top of that hill, surmount the task which was in front of us, we can shout, I knew we could, I knew we could.
Let us pray. Mighty God, holy and strong one, look now on us who look to you, and hear our prayer. We pray for your world. We see so much beauty, but also so much pain, violence, fear, despair. We look in sorrow at the suffering brought about by our misuse of the world you have so generously given us. We pray for those experiencing extremes of climate, remembering the floods in Pakistan. The heat waves, droughts, and wildfires in Europe and beyond. For those who have died or lost loved ones, for those whose crops, animals, livelihoods, and homes have been destroyed. We pray for all seeking to bring aid and relief. May we all play our part in caring for and conserving your creation, our environment. May we use your earth's resources wisely. May we never squander them and leave others in need. We pray for areas torn by conflict, remembering Ukraine and Russia, Afghanistan, Yemen, the Holy Land, Myanmar, and so many other places. May those who lead and influence the different communities hear your voice and be open to the guidance of your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of peace and love. We pray for those suffering from or fearing crippling debts, seeing no way through the current cost of living crisis. May all rulers, politicians and industrial leaders use their authority wisely, seeking justice, peace, and the common good. At this time, we offer prayer for the new United Kingdom Prime Minister to be appointed. May human values and integrity never be compromised by desire for personal gain or party political considerations. We pray for any known to us who are in particular need. Illness, frailty, sorrow, anxiety. May all in need know the support of your encircling arms. Mighty God, holy and strong one, give us strength to do what you would have us do. Deliver us from lack of purpose. Free us from confusion of mind. Save us from loss of integrity. Maintain in us vision and ideals. Sustain our openness and generosity. Help us to continue to work for you, that we may serve you all our days. Mighty God, Holy and Strong One. We join our prayers with your whole church throughout the world and in heaven. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us dedicate our offering. Let us pray. Father God, we offer these tokens as symbols of the offering of our whole selves. Take the money we offer for the building of your kingdom. Take the offering of ourselves and guide us to where we can use our gifts each day. May your kingdom come, now and always. Amen. Now let us join in the family prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen.
Dedicated to your praise, Lord, I freely give to you every moment of my days. Take my hands to show your love for the broken and the lost. Guide my feet to follow Christ in the shadow of the cross. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and may they always bring you praise. I'm all yours, I'm all yours, my Lord, all I am, every part, I'm all yours, I'm all yours, my Lord, take my life, take my heart. Take the things that I possess, I surrender all I own. Lord, I give my every thought to be ruled by Christ alone. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and may they always bring you praise. I'm all yours, I'm all yours, my Lord, all I am, every part. Take my life, take my heart.
Father God, as we leave our service of worship today, we are thinking, we are praying, we are looking and hopefully understanding. And Father, we will walk with you. We are asking, we are listening, and we are wondering and hoping. Father God, we will walk with you, serving, sharing, receiving and giving. Father God, we will walk with you, and we will walk with the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Shine upon you.